Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another treat of a podcast in Is It Just Me? The podcast where you know the drill by now. It's Tuesday. It's fresh. It's exciting. And it's exciting because we don't know what we're talking about. We don't know what we're going to talk about. But we're excited to do it anyway. I'm one of your hosts. I'm Joe Elvin. Hi.
Hello, Joe Elvin. Hi. I'm James. I'm the other. James Williams, the other host.
James Williams. We've also got Bingley today.
He's very wriggly. Yeah, he's determined to eat your diary.
But you know what? Just like our guest today's fans... He's like really sort of like demonstrating the excited levels of puppy-fied joy that
about
this man
guest.
Inspires wherever he goes. I've seen it. He tweeted this morning that he's on the podcast and my phone's had a nervous breakdown already. It's YouTube royalty. It's entrepreneur, content creator extraordinaire, the one and only Alfie Days.
Well, hey.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for Hello, being
Alfie.
Here.
The pressure though from that intro.
I don't.
The builder.
Oh, I don't worry.
I'm kind of excited. It's like, I don't know whether this means the podcast has made it or it's all going terribly wrong for Alfie. one or the other. Which do you think it is?
Yeah. We had the same thing when Richard E. Grant did the podcast. Joe and I kept going, he's an Oscar nominee. When's he going to cancel? He obviously hasn't listened to the show. So yeah. No, clearly neither of you, Alfie. You have no idea what's in store
He's
for you.
He's too busy, aren't you?
No, I'm all good. I'm super excited to be here.
Aww,
I'm really excited.
Thank you. Well, how is it being up in the big smoke? You're saying normally you're down in Brighton. It's a nice day for it being in London. You've got a packed schedule? I'm turning American.
Yeah. No, I'm up here for a few days. Just grabbed a hotel. So whenever I come up, I always try and make the most out of it and like real pack out my days just back to back.
Is there such a thing as an average day for you? Or is it all over the place depending on...
I think average, like the norm is not the norm. Do you know if that makes sense?
Yeah.
Is that on a t-shirt somewhere?
It should be.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, my days differ a lot, which is the norm for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Change is the constant.
Well, it is, isn't it?
But it keeps it fresh. It keeps it exciting.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what's exciting you today, besides obviously being in the podcast?
Love being in London.
Yeah.
Loving the weather in London. Whenever I come here, it always seems to rain.
Well, not today. It's a beautiful day.
Lovely day.
See,
today.
And weirdly, whenever I go to Brighton, I feel like the sun shines.
Perfect.
Yeah. Well, no, you have a very raw end of that deal. I have a great end of the deal. Because somebody once told me that Brighton is one of the... It's in the driest county in the UK. I don't know if that's a total...
Really?
Yes, apparently.
I mean, it's
and,
very
you know,
south.
Those groovy facts keep coming.
I mean, you know, there's a reason why I'm single.
Aww. It's the wiki.
Let's not dwell on that.
The wiki of Southwest London.
Let's get off the weather because that's far too British.
But I actually know a lot about Brighton because of yours and Zoe's YouTube channels. If I go there with my daughter, there was a time when she would say things like, oh, mum, that's where Alfie had a pasty and he didn't like it very much. I'll go, oh, okay, yeah. Thanks,
there should be a blue
pack. I need somebody like that walking around with me to remind me when I go to eat something like, no, last time you didn't like it. Very true.
Well, I know someone who can help you out with that.
Amazing. Disappointing pasties. Yeah. No, there's nothing wrong with a disappointing pasty.
I don't like pasties.
Oh, do you, what?
Yeah, sorry, ooh. I love you, Cornwall, but I'm not down with the pasty.
God, we're going to fall out.
I'm not the biggest fan.
No,
really?
They smell great. They're just not...
Yeah, always high hopes.
Yeah.
Never...
Well, that's a revelation.
There's a lot of pale green ingredients. Do you not notice that?
How do you feel about cheese pasty?
Oh, cheese. I can get on board.
I was going to say,
cheese.
You
I
love mean, cheese.
I'd stick cheese in, I don't know.
Anything.
Chocolate cake would be great. Yeah.
I've never had a cheese pasty.
No.
Am I missing out?
Yeah.
Possibly.
You've got to get out of here.
Go back to that shop.
Go find it. Go back. Seek out a Greg's or some of the bakers.
Yeah. So what's going on with you? You're sort of like launching, is it an agency? Tell me what's going on.
Yeah, so basically I was signed to a management company to manage and help out with everything I do, and then realised that it could actually be more exciting, more proactive to hire an in-house team to do those roles.
More profitable then.
No, well, hopefully more profitable. But just being able to be much more proactive. So I hired many roles in-house and have a team in Brighton now, an office in Brighton, and basically are able to be much more proactive. So when working with brands, with companies and called opportunities and ventures and things, the vast majority of them happen from us wanting to work with them or reaching out to them and pitching to them rather than somebody messaging saying, hey, we need this product promoted for this amount of money.
Yeah.
Can you do that? That's okay, but I much prefer being able to be like, what do I love at the moment? What can fit in with what I'm doing? Let's go and sit down and chat with those people about working together.
Yeah. And how great that you've carved something where you can, I hate the word, but curate your own business day and your own career that way. Do you find it, are you sort of like relieved or a bit jaded now when you first started doing what you were doing? You and people like Zoe and the Chapmans were real trailblazers, and nobody really understood quite what it was that you did and why it was lighting up and being successful. So it must be great not to be constantly exhausted explaining it. But at the same time, are you
still
like,
a lot of explaining?
Do you think so? Because I was wondering if you're at the point where like, God, you know, I was there first and now everyone thinks they can do this.
Well, I think more than explaining, it's more perceptions that aren't correct. Mm. So many people still just think like, oh, we make a video or two a week and make a load of money. And I'm like, yeah, if you saw my diary, that is definitely not what is going on. So there's still a lot. I still do a lot of business talks that is helping educate everybody. And the amount of time I spent doing talks over the last, 7 years explaining to brands and directors and CEOs about what's going on in the whole space, not just to benefit me, but to really try and help grow the space and have people understand what's going on. Everything's changing, everything's getting there, but still it's not where it could be.
So what's the biggest misconception about what you do that really annoys you?
I don't think it annoys me, but when people say, oh, that's easy, I'm like, yeah, go do that. Mm. You do it.
Well, because you make it look, I think that's the thing,
that's
isn't
the thing.
It?
And a lot of your channel that I've seen, you know, people are there for the glamour of it, aren't they?
For sure.
And you've got to sort of like, sort of
And a lot of people
that.
Only show the glamour.
Yeah.
A lot of people that film and document their life, you go on Instagram, no one's posting a bad day, are they?
Yeah. Well, you did disappoint. You did mention that disappointing pasty.
I did. That's what I try and do. I do try and show like the full spectrum. Obviously, I'm not filming like an argument with like a family member or something, but I'm very aware that I do let people like, remember, you're only seeing like 20 minutes video of a 24-hour day. This isn't everything. But often, obviously, social media does make everything look very idealistic and positive, which isn't anybody's
unless
reality.
Unless you're on my Instagram.
Yeah.
And you're just getting pictures of my, the mole being cut off my face, know, things like that. Yeah.
But I guess I'm going to ask you the question I used to hate being asked out of you. What is the long-term goal? What did you always want to be when you want to grow up when you were a kid? Was it always this or was it?
No. When I was younger, I wanted to be like dentist or an eco-scientist.
Wow.
Yeah, I did like chemistry, maths, biology and geography.
Do you have exceedingly good teeth?
I had a lot of work done on my teeth.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
I thought that the dental passion must have started at a young age.
Flossing from a very young age.
Yeah. No, I'm flossing now twice a day though. Yeah, got to keep that up.
It is annoying flossing, but it's worth it, I think.
Yeah. I enjoy it now.
Do you? Oh, yeah. Wouldn't go that far, Alfie. But
no, I like it.
Yeah.
But no, I think long-term goals, for me, it's more, I think over the last year, with growing a team and doing a lot of things that are out of my comfort zone, I've realized that I love trying new things. And I think that's what my obsession is doing things that either people don't expect or haven't been done before. So like, for example, with YouTuber books, I was the first YouTuber to ever do a book. That was like, not the best deal I've ever done, monetary wise, because it was just bloody exciting.
But you also, you must have been really young.
Yeah, maybe like, maybe, oh, I don't know, maybe like 21?
Yeah, I mean,
or something.
I think that that's the thing. I think that what I really admire is, you know, as I say, blazing that trail, just trying things, seeing what sticks, seeing what doesn't. Yeah.
But then obviously coming with that, if you fail, you're failing in front of a lot of people.
Yeah.
Which is part of the risk, and the exciting things only happen, the great things only happen.
Also, failing, I think failures make you human and more relatable, like, weirdly, sometimes, because, you know.
I've definitely done like small things that I regret, but the learnings from it, if you're trying new things, you're always going to not succeed as well as you maybe hoped so. But then that's not when you stop. That's when you try even harder. That's when you make it work. If you want it to happen, then that's when you go for it even more than you did before.
Yeah. And obviously, I have to ask you, obviously, talking about doing things outside of comfort zone.
Yeah.
I've got to ask you, did you have any idea before Joe went on Strictly that he was going to be that good?
Joe was awful at dancing before Strictly.
I don't believe it.
How I'm is that being possible, serious. Though?
We did one dance lesson together once. We did this like boy band thing. We did a jokey song for charity.
Oh, I think I remember
it was
that.
A McFly song.
Yeah, yeah.
All About You. And we did a dance lesson in the studio, and there was like four or five of us, and I think Joe got rated the second worst dancer out of the four or five. I'm not any good myself, so I can't say anything, but all I'm saying is like, that was all learned. Graft like 10 hours a day. He was
it was
in
a revelation
studio.
Wasn't it? I mean, it seemed like
it shocked everyone. Yeah. I think it shocked him. Definitely. I don't think he was expecting it.
Aww.
Could you ever see yourself doing anything like that, Alfie?
I think time wise it'd be crazy.
You must
have
been
to
asked.
Have the input. Mm. Yeah, I've been asked to do lots of different things. I've done quite a few charity TV shows.
But it was a really smart move, wasn't it? I think that shows you, for such an institution like Strictly, to embrace that kind of, you know, level.
Amazing.
It just showed that it's gone proper mainstream. And actually, going back to your point, Joe, I think finally it's brought that point out to it shows that it's now a mainstream thing, but also it shows that the BBC acknowledged that it is a really important audience to tap into, isn't it? So that must have been a massive slap on the back for people like yourselves.
Yeah, whoever did that casting must have hopefully got a... Very big thank you.
Yeah.
Big well done.
Wow, yeah. And what about you? What's your, what show out of those would you fancy doing? Would you go into the jungle?
No way. I'm so scared of spiders.
I'm scared of snakes.
I had a pet snake growing up.
Did you?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh. How big did it get?
It was a Nelson's milk snake. It was like red, black and yellow.
Ooh.
It used to always just hide. I thought it was going to be cool when it just hid.
They're not a pet.
Haven't you got to feed them live mice and stuff?
Not live, frozen.
Oh, okay.
I mean, not that it's like a nice thing still. It's still a mice.
What's
like,
the snake's name?
Smidge.
Smidge.
Oh, that's quite a cute name.
No,
for
it's cool.
It's still not
he
cute.
He was so cool.
Yeah.
You're still not sold.
No, no. Oh, dear.
Have you held one before?
What?
A snake?
Well, no.
Everyone always says, no. Yeah, a snake.
You should.
The most I've ever done is my daughter went to, she was about 4 or 5, and she went to one of those parties where some bastard hired like the
I
whole sort of
it.
Like reptile thing.
Love it.
And they had this massive yellow and white boa that was at least 6 feet long.
Okay, that was not like mine was like small.
Draped across the kids' laps. And I went right to the tail of it and touched it on the tail. And that was like a big step for me. That's the most... And I hated it. I hated it.
You didn't like it?
No, I'm really frightened of them. Like, super.
But everyone always says... I think everyone thinks they're going to be cold and slimy. And everyone says they're actually surprisingly warm.
They're so soft and nice. They are.
I just...
That is not the face of a convinced person,
no,
Alfie, is on Joe.
Sorry, Alfie.
But then saying that, spiders and me, there
bag,
is no... I haven't, unfortunately.
No, good,
But like, there's no rational anything around spiders. Like, that's not going to hurt me.
No,
I just don't like that. No
if
way.
You've got a spider in your bath, you
can
phone me.
Yeah, my girlfriend's getting it out.
You can
no
phone
way.
Me. I'll do it.
Okay.
Yeah. Got no problem with that at all.
And then you come and handle the snakes for Joe.
Yeah.
Okay. We cut that deal right here.
I'm getting the short straw there. There's more spiders.
Yeah, you're going to be very busy on that train down to Brighton.
Also, I live in the countryside, so you're going to be very busy.
Well, I live southeast, so it's all right.
Okay.
Yeah, but the trains down to Brighton are a pain in the arse at the moment, aren't they? It's outrageous.
3 hours.
hours yesterday, bus replacement.
It's outrageous. And how long is that going on for? You like, I've gone to the very interesting subject once again, the weather and the subject.
Why did you not just call up, you know, YouTube headquarters and get your special fancy YouTube helicopter, which I presume takes the YouTube royalty around the country?
No, I was on the bus. Oh. Although it was a coach. We got lucky. There was loads of buses and coaches, and I was like, please be a coach, please be a coach. And it was a coach.
Actually, when I got stuck on it recently, so it was quite surprised. It was quite a quick, efficient replacement bus. Because obviously in London, the words replacement bus service literally to send the... to feel a dread.
I'm really sorry today, podcasters, but like, you know, we're really talking about talk replacement bus services.
Don't blame this on me. Don't blame this on me.
It's all my fault. Yeah. I'm clearly in a very, very middle-aged frame of mind. Anyway, let's go to far more interesting topics. Alf, are you ready to do some serious debating?
I'm ready.
Okay, let's do it. Okay, first up this week then, Joe Elfie and Alfie Days. Is it just me who has a repertoire of the same questions I basically rely on when I meet strangers? So basically the same three questions I will ask a stranger.
Is it, did you get here on the replacement bus service?
Do you know what?
Yes,
not,
I did.
I'm not even joking. One of my friends has this, and her fail-safe question is, it's hilarious. She always says, have you come far?
Oh, I love you. I don't know who your friend is, but I hate that question.
I've never been asked that.
Have you come far?
I find that.
I don't know why.
I actually want to vomit with boredom in the answering of it. Do you know what I mean?
Don't you think that by the very nature of... Well, I think I do have those questions, but I think by their very nature, they are just... Yeah, it does feel like you're being interviewed for a job interview.
I need to think about this answer. What do you think,
Surely
Alfie?
You can have a... I don't have any. Right. I love chatting to people that are... I love chatting to strangers.
Do you?
But do you have the same
I used to waste quite a lot of time just chatting to
people.
Have
you got the same openers? Or
no. But I feel like if I did, I would make sure that it doesn't sound like it does. Like your friend sounds quite obvious that it's the same thing. Do you know what I mean?
It's whereas very awkward.
I'd just that's be like, thing. It's a nerve thing. It's a shyness.
But I think that's what happens. I think a lot of people have either read books or they've been told by friends, you know, you've got to have these questions that you can always reach for. So she just has this crutch of, have you come far? And it's like, it's a bit like Joey when he's trying to lie in Friends and he just says, this raccoon came in. It just sounds ridiculous whenever she says, you know, have you come far? It just sounds so awkward.
So how would you open a conversation then?
So, okay, I'm not the best because often, and it's happened many times, and I've chilled out on it recently, when I'm in coffee shops or bars, I love just chatting to people. So I'll be like, oh, how long are you working today? How's your day going? You're busy? How many customers have come through today? When do you finish? And I've had a lot of experiences where they definitely like walk away because they think I'm really trying to flirt with them. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to throw in something to do with my girlfriend here just to be like, that is not what I'm alluding to, because I'm stood at a bar ordering a drink and they just think I'm like, oh, when do you finish work today? How long's your shift been? Did not mean it like that.
That's so interesting, though, because I think it's
a bit sad.
Like, we've talked this before. We said that sometimes, you know, people who have maintained eye contact, we talked about it on a previous show, saying, you know, is it just me that struggles with eye contact? Mm. And somebody said they did because they feel like there's all this stuff you've been told. Like, if you maintain eye contact, it means you're basically flirting with somebody. So they're really bad at eye contact because they don't want to give off the wrong signal.
Oh,
so
it's a shame.
It's interesting that the art of conversation is being ruined because people are worried they're being essentially accused of coming on to people.
When you've been married for 1,000 years like I have, you don't even remember what flirting is. So I don't think anyone thinks I'm flirting with them, and I know I'm not. So but that must have the opposite effect sometimes, when people must think, oh brilliant, this guy's flirting with me, and then you're like, oh god, I didn't mean it that way.
No, I probably just wouldn't realize. I just ended up chatting to them for ages. Yeah, no, that's never happened.
On the flip side, what's the strangest question you've been asked in that kind of icebreaker situation?
Gosh, that's a good one.
Mine was, do you ski? It was so random. It was just out of nowhere.
Do you ski?
It was like, literally, hello,
what were you
your
wearing?
Name? I swear I wasn't wearing
salopettes.
Goggles. I had some tennis rackets attached to my feet. No, basically, it was really random. It was like, what's your name, James? They were like, do you ski? I was like, just one of those, like, have you been dared to come up and ask somebody that question? Because it just felt so strange.
You know, I mean, if it's a big part of their life, they just want to know straight away.
I mean, it was a very posh person. I mean, not that I wish to make any sort of sweeping generalizations, but maybe for them it was the be all and end all. And the funniest thing was, when I went, no, she kind of went, oh, and then just walked away. Like, I'd massively failed at life.
Yeah. Gosh, I wish someone would ask me something random like that.
I guess it makes it interesting.
I only meet the have you come far people. They're the ones I meet.
Okay, can we come up with a question that we all agree we have to ask somebody for the first time?
All right.
Next time we're like out and about.
Well, my favourite one is, what's your favourite type of potato?
Because can't ask somebody that in a coffee shop.
That's a good question, though. Yeah.
I was once on a very awkward date, and that one question saved it, because we talked for about 25 minutes about... and argued about dauphinoise versus roast versus chip versus crisp.
If I said to a guy, you know, if I go and get my coffee at Pret and I say to the guy serving me, what's your favourite potato? He is going to think I'm trying to start a meaningful, life-changing, flirty conversation with him.
Or he might be like, finally, a refreshing conversation. This is a bit of fun.
Yeah.
It's not like saying, hey, do you work out? Come on. Say, what's your favourite type of potato?
I also don't have a strong feeling about that, do you?
About what? Potatoes? Yeah. Oh. Bingley's trying to snog Bingley's Joe, I'm afraid.
Bingley's
missed you, Joe.
I'm jealous.
I don't know. I think he could buy me dinner first, if I'm honest.
Yes, true.
It was
all that you were clearly coming on to him, all that small talk. hang on, you don't have a strong opinion about potato?
No, we're not my favourite potato.
Surely your favourite style.
Yeah, come on,
mash.
Joe.
Chips.
I was thinking like Jersey Royal.
I don't mean a King Edward.
No, not like that.
I mean, that's gone down like the weather territory.
What's your favourite potato is a variety. If you said, how do you like your potatoes?
Yeah. How do you
then
like
I would think that was like had a double meaning.
That's very flirty. How do you like your potatoes?
Yeah, let's not
like, how do you like
one.
Your eggs in the
how
morning?
How do you like potatoes in the morning?
So actually, in all seriousness, that's why I'm a bit surprised that you love a food question. I thought you'd be all over this.
I did think that was a weird... I don't know. I quite like those little Anya ones that you can get. An Anya potato.
What the hell is that?
I am
they
lost.
They look like fingers. They're really nice.
I didn't see that coming.
I've never seen them. Never had that in my life.
Well, you obviously don't shop at Sainsbury's, Alfie.
I think mine would have to be mash. Alfie, where are you on this very important subject?
Mash is just... solid, isn't it?
I was working
chips
with a girl
though, as well.
I was working with a girl the other week, and she doesn't like mash to the point where her mum makes a shepherd's pie with no mashed potato on top.
I think this whole thing is a big plus point for team. How far have you come today?
There's a reason why people rely on that question and not the how do you like your potato.
Yeah.
How did you even get onto that conversation with someone the other day about
as in the shepherd's pie?
Yeah.
I think somebody just said something about comfort food, and somebody said something like sausage and mash. You went, "Oh, I hate mash," and it's like she doesn't hate potato; she just hates anything mashed. So it's a texture thing. So
yeah, no, I get that.
In fact, lovely Charlie listened to the podcast, so then she'll hear me saying this. Sorry, Charlie, I love you, but you're a little weirdo for not liking mash.
When my daughter was about 4 or 5 years old, she was obsessed with her opening question for everybody was, "What colour is your door on your house?"
Love, that's a good
one.
Yeah,
that's a good
that's
one.
That's
right?
a very
yeah,
good one.
I might use that one. What colour is your door?
What colour is your door?
Yeah.
I quite like it because it is random, but
I think she once asked me what colour Zoella's door was. I said, I don't know. I don't know.
Grey.
Grey. There you go. Grey. Mystery solved. Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but I think I probably do have the same set of questions.
So what would be your ones?
You are they purposeful?
Because I always
you're probably the same, and we're all the same. I get sat next to people at dinners quite often who are complete strangers, and you can't launch in with something as personal as what potato is your favourite.
I think my problem is, at least I like a random question, because my problem is, I think because we are put into situations whereby often you're making small talk with famous people, you can't do the, what do you do?
Yeah. You know, what have you been up to recently?
There's
the assumed knowledge.
You can. Yeah.
True.
Really want to upset that famous person. Who are you?
But also, it's a bit like, I always feel a bit like, you know, if it's an actor, you say, so what are you working on at the moment? You always feel a bit like, I don't know, I feel like I'm intruding a little bit. I don't know why. Is it just me? Is it just me?
Just me.
I always, if I'm sat next to a famous person, I always, this is a really awful thing to admit, I always try to find something sarcastic and derogatory to say about the dinner or the entertainment or the decor or something. And then they relax and think, oh, okay, I can just
You're
be
a normal
myself.
Person. Yeah. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. It's a great leveler.
That's awful, isn't it? But that's what I do.
No, true. Well, no, it's humour. It's all about finding it. It's an icebreaker for a reason. You know, you're just going to make somebody laugh. Whatsoever. But I've heard you're very good at small talk, Ralph. You know, clearly you must be.
That small talk.
I think I don't mind awkward pauses. Like, I'm happy for a bit of silence. People often try and fill every single second so that it's not awkward. I'm fine with like a nice little pause.
That's why you're probably a very good interviewer, because you can wait, because what will happen is if you're interviewing somebody and you can ride out that pause, they will inevitably fill it with something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's quite unnerving.
A top trick.
Yeah.
There you go.
But you obviously really like people, and that makes
chatting to people, yeah.
Well, if you are sat there and you're thinking, I've got a corker of an icebreaker question that you want to tell us all about, do email us here at isitjustmepodcast@gmail.com. We do love hearing from you. So if you think you have a very strong feelings about how you like your potatoes prepared, or you have something to tell us about a bus replacement service, that's the email address to use.
Maybe don't email.
isitjustmepodcast@gmail.com.
Right, Alfie Days, James Williams. Is it just me who is firmly against store loyalty cards?
I'm laughing at this because I know how strongly you feel about this subject.
Man, I just feel like it's just another way to stalk us for no reward. The man at Boots the other day tried to tell me what a great thing it was, but I just feel so cynical about it. Am I wrong? I just feel like you spend and you spend and you spend, and that's great. And I'm not going to stop spending at those places, but I don't need a little card that gets filled up. And when I take it to show them how loyal I've been, I might get 50p off the next thing. Who cares?
What about one of the stamp loyalty cards? Like you get free coffee after your 10th one. Well, do you do that?
I always forget I have them.
I am a very loyal Leon customer.
I
get my coffee there
every
day.
I love Leon.
And I love the staff at my local Leon. They're all very lovely. And each of them has urged me to have a loyalty card. So I have, just out of politeness, got about 16 of these things wanging around my handbag.
With one stamp each.
With one stamp each. Yeah, and I just kind of feel like, that's the other thing, that the pressure of trying to remember where the loyalty card is.
Can you add them together? If you went in and gave them 16, could they put it into one?
But if you're...
Probably not. I bet you there's some real rules and regulations.
But you can do that. Okay. But there are lots of people like me with the 16 loyalty cards wanging around their handbags who are in front of me in the queue. And collating them all to get them all stamped away. And I just don't have the patience for that either. Yeah. So I'm against that.
Somebody tell me about, apparently there's an app which I have yet to actually enable. It's called Stowcard. An app on your phone where you keep all your loyalty cards in one place and it's on your phone.
That just seems like another conspiracy to me. I mean, your phone now, you only have to say something and you get ads for it on your phone. I just feel like... Can we just halt on the tracking every single sip of coffee I take from every proprietor, every time I buy something embarrassing from Boots? Just let's just not have that recorded
on
my phone.
Tracked.
Let's not, right?
See, the one that I will defend Boots. I think the Boots card's actually quite a good one.
Okay.
But that's the only one I have. But I am with you. I do.
You do have a Boots one.
I have a Boots card, and I do. That's the only one I religiously use.
I have zero.
Have you got
cards.
A Boots card, sir?
No.
So how many times have we?
Although
both
every time
that?
I say, "Oh, I don't actually," my girlfriend goes, "Nope, I do," and then it takes 5 minutes to find it, and then she gets the £1.20 that I spent.
They
she
slow
gets
down
quarter
life.
Of a penny.
Yeah, exactly.
But saying that, at Christmas, she has done some big Christmas shops and got like a lot of money
it
off.
It does add up.
It does.
Because Boots actually turns into money rather than anything. Because some of them are rubbish. Some of them are like, if you buy, I don't know, 100 quid's worth of something, you get one coffee.
And that's I'm very suspicious of the whole Air Miles thing. You know, it's like, if you'd booked it yesterday when there was a full moon, then you could have had two free economy seats. But as you're booking it today, we will give you half a sandwich on your next flight to
Iraq. You just have to fill out this 20-page document.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
and you'll get half your sandwich.
But I definitely feel like there are some shops where there's a real judgment when they say to you, do you have a loyalty card? And I go, no. Do you want one? No. And there's a real sense of,
Yeah, no, I ended up in a big debate about it in the shop the other day. It's like, I was just like, listen, I just don't want one. And you do feel like you've done something wrong.
Well, I'll tell you what I've started doing, and I really get a kick out of it, is refusing my boarding pass when I'm in the airport and you
really?
Go into a shop and they ask for your boarding pass. That's a VAT scam. So never hand it over. So just say, no, I'd rather
serious?
Not. Thank you. Because they just deliver it to you like you have to do it.
Yes,
I thought you had to.
I thought you had to as well.
I literally was in the airport like 4 days ago.
No, you don't. If you say, no,
it took me ages.
If you say, no, I'd rather not, thanks, they go, okay, fine.
That's a mind blower.
Yes. So there you go, people. Don't hand over your boarding.
James, you've uncovered a conspiracy.
See, I've come a long way from bus replacement service.
Yeah.
I'm reclaiming this
I'm
podcast.
I'm engaged now. That should be your opener when you speak to people. Did you know
you don't have
to do your boarding pass?
Yes, ditch the potatoes question and do that one.
Yeah.
Yes, there you go. you've learned something new today.
Oh, because I'm always really uncomfortable though with the people who fight it, because there are people who refuse and then you're stuck behind them and it's all getting very ugly and awkward and suddenly security's being called.
Yeah. Well, I think that's why I think the good way to do it is, no, I'd rather not, thank you. If you just say no, I think it gets a bit awkward. If you just say you, because I think then they know you know what they're onto.
What are they onto though?
Are
I don't
they
get
onto
it.
Something.
It's something weird. Like they basically get, there's no VAT, but if you hand over your pass, your boarding pass, there's some weird thing that they don't. You're basically paying full price or something. I can't. There is something. There's a basic.
So you don't get it cheaper if you don't do your boarding pass.
No, you don't. There's something that like they're not paying the full time. I mean, I'm going to get sued, but I'm probably not talking the truth at all.
So roundabout way, it sounds like not showing your boarding pass is a. Just sticking it to the man.
Yes, yeah. Basically.
So yeah, nothing for it. Yeah. Other
Vive
than
la
like,
revolution.
Yeah.
Start. Yeah, refusing your boarding pass.
I'm going
right
to do
here,
it and
people.
Just get arrested and miss my flight, and
imagine?
Then literally text you like, "Cheers, man. Just tried to buy a sandwich, and now I missed my flight to America."
No.
Well,
I'm
yeah, but you'll get
some
content.
Yeah. Very true.
Do you ever? Do you think that
getting arrested?
This is a shitty situation, but I'll get
it.
Some content.
No, I've not thought that. Oh my gosh.
But you know that social media is taking over, don't you? When I actually had a dream last night where I was getting really frustrated in the dream that I wanted to post something and my phone wouldn't work, and that was my dream.
Oh my god.
How bad is that?
That's a very modern anxiety dream.
Yeah. And I was like really cursing my phone because I was desperate to get this Instagram content on.
Oh my god.
And that was my dream. You must have dreams like that.
I'm somebody that doesn't remember their dreams.
Really?
Oh. Yeah.
Ever?
No. And then whenever I speak to people and they're like, oh, I do, I'm super jealous.
I
had a lucid dream once on purpose. Have you ever had a lucid dream?
What do you mean by that?
So it's where you realize you're dreaming and therefore you can do whatever you want. You can control yourself because you know you're in a dream.
Right.
Oh. So I did all these techniques. I watched this YouTube video on how to lucid dream. And I did all these techniques of like counting your fingers as you go to sleep. And then when you're in the dream, it's impossible to count your fingers. You can't count. So you look at your hands and you're like, 1, 2, 7, 2. Whoa, that's not right. 1, 2, 4. Whoa.
It sounds like me trying
and then
to
you realize
do
you're
my taxes.
Then you realize you're dreaming.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I'm just going to start flying.
So it's like Inception. Wow. You have
so
made Inception.
So I knew
Inception.
I was in a dream. Yeah.
Yeah, I only remember really awful dreams or really, really good dreams. But often I have very boring dreams, so I don't really want to remember them. A bit like, you know.
I always dream.
Do you?
Always, and it's always, I mean, I can't talk about it because I'll just bore everyone to death, but I have super weird dreams most nights.
Yeah.
We're on thin ice already. Yeah, with
do they feel long, but yes. Or do they feel short?
It varies.
Like?
It's like some long, some short. So the long ones I really hate, which I've talked about before, are the ones where I'm doing something like getting ready for work in the morning.
Okay.
And I do the whole thing.
I'm glad I'm not dreaming.
And then I wake up.
And then you wake up and have to do the getting ready for work. That's awful. That is like a fever dream or
something.
That
happens quite a lot.
Oh my God.
Or shopping. I'm just out shopping.
That's quite fun.
Yeah, but then you wake up and you think, oh, that thing doesn't exist in Topshop.
I wish I had that item. Yeah.
No. Doing the Ocado delivery shop, dreaming about it, then have to wake up and do it.
I do not have a boots card. Stop asking me.
Yeah, that is going to happen. I'm a very interesting person though, really.
Of course you are.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Is it just me who seems increasingly worried about everything?
Everything you say?
everything?
Probably not.
Oh.
That's the end of that one.
There we go.
No, but what do you mean by that? What sort of things worry you?
Some people, I think it's because the amount of time I spend online, I just see people worrying about so many things that are never going to happen.
Contagious?
Maybe people like to worry.
Yeah,
never
I
thought
think
about
so.
That.
Yeah,
maybe people wouldn't know what to do if they weren't worrying.
Well, the expression is, you know, born warriors. There are some people who literally they live on their sort of nerves and their sort of, you know.
I must admit, I feel like the minute I stop worrying is when it will all go wrong. I feel like worrying feels like an insurance policy, and it's not a good way to live. I'm not recommending it.
Mm.
Yeah. What about you? You don't seem like you worry. You seem super chilled about everything.
No, I don't worry. But I wanted to talk about this, yeah, just because I see so many people worrying about things that I'm like, that's not, like, is that going to happen? Well, that's not going to happen. That's not in your reality.
And
even if it does happen,
it's not gonna change
then you
it.
Deal with it then.
Yeah, I know. I wish I could be more like that, Alfie. I really do.
I think the problem is you can just go down a kind of worry wormhole, can't you? I think if you start thinking, I'm a big believer in not thinking about things too much, because the second you start thinking about things, that's when the worry gets
right
off the scale.
Bingley's just trying to reassure me by making love to my ear.
I was going
to
say, he can sense your worry, and now he's just going to try and lick it better.
But on a serious note though, you must have a lot of fans who seek guidance and reassurance from you, and that must be a pressure.
Yes, but I just don't really think about it too much. I try and I'm aware that obviously a lot of people are like watching what I do, but I try and just, I feel like as soon as I start thinking about those things, then it was like my head will get cloudy.
Yeah.
I'd rather just live my life.
Yeah.
And I try and treat my socials, like my Instagrams, my Twitter and everything, exactly the same as, I don't know, a friend would, like, who doesn't have like a following online would treat theirs. Yeah. I try and just keep it as mundane as possible.
I also find it, I always find it really weird as well that the press seems to have this obsession with making anybody who is famous a role model. Like nobody ever says on their passport or in life, I'm a role model. My life is perfect. Yeah. Everyone should basically follow what I do. No one ever says that. But there's this unspoken rule suddenly that if you have a level of fame, you have to be somehow above the law. No, not above the law. You have to be lead a perfectly idyllic life, and you know, and I always find that really strange. I just think, well, no, they're just people like everybody else. And I think it's a weird thing that people would then go, well, you're not setting a very good example. It's like, well, no, I'm just living my life. I'm not saying I'm living the life or living a life that everyone else should live. I always find that really weird and doesn't sit right with me. You know, it's a strange one, really.
Similar with the term influencer.
Yeah,
we're speaking about this just earlier with like, oh, Alfie, you're an influencer, and I'm like, but if you just told me that there was a lovely restaurant around the corner, are you now an influencer?
Yes,
I am. Is my mum now an influencer? Yes. Like, how far does it go? Who isn't an influencer? Is the advert on the side of the bus, is that bus an influencer?
Mm. But it's such a modern construct,
like,
isn't it?
What is an such influencer? I don't post an Instagram trying to influence people to do what I'm doing in that picture.
Yeah.
I'm just posting a picture like everyone else. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that, same with link with the role models, is such a strange term that the people who are those people who have been classified as those people didn't come up with and aren't involved in themselves. Everybody else has.
But at the same time, you're not naive. You're a really successful businessman. You know that you've got amazing power in that space. You know you have.
For sure. No, I'm aware that obviously a lot of people follow what I do. But as soon as, again, you let that affect what you're doing too much, then the reason why they followed you is no longer is no longer there. Yes. You're not being yourself now. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, I think as well,
I think it's good to be aware, but not to overthink about it too much. Like, and have an understanding that people might look up to a lot of people. People might look for inspiration, might follow people and be influenced by your decisions, but not to live your life around those decisions that could affect them. I remember once when I just started out on YouTube, I said, I really like girls with short hair. That evening, I got so many tweets of people who cut their hair short.
Oh my
girls,
God, that's...
And I was literally like, what have I done?
Thank God you didn't
What
say,
have I done?
I really love girls with skulls tattooed on their faces. I mean, it could have been worse, but yeah.
Yeah, and I just remember being like, oh, okay, can I tweet stuff like this? Is that okay? Yeah. I didn't tell them to cut their hair. It's not a bad thing that they've done it. It's not a good thing they've done it.
That's a horrible
pressure.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah.
But then if I start thinking about, oh, can I tweet this because this might happen, then I just start living my life around like something that I can't control. So it's good to be aware, but not to worry.
I think the people that do this kind of thing successfully have integrity and they are true to themselves. And I hate to say, I think, you know, sometimes it's about not bending to those outside influences and actually going, do you know what? I know me, I know what I think and I know what I like.
If you're happy with yourself.
I'm just going to do that because the second you start listening too much to what people say, I think that's when you start pleasing, God forbid, you know, people with money or whatever. That's where it all goes horribly wrong. I think if you stay true to what you've always been about, you know, and also I guess you just have to trust your gut instinct when it comes to these things, right? You kind of know instinctively, I would imagine, what's interesting or what's not, or what's funny and what's not, you know. But I would imagine you probably have had ridiculous offers to do crazy things, so you've had to go, no thanks, it's not.
Oh, for sure.
What's the maddest thing you've been asked to do? Obviously, I'm going to name and shame the
sponsor proposal.
Really?
Yeah, like everything.
What?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
People wanted to pay you to propose.
Yeah, as in like a brand, like we want it all branded, like you to be...
Your proposal or someone else's?
As in my proposal.
Wow.
As in me to propose, sponsored by the brand.
That is mad.
Can you imagine? What a beautiful, magical way to...
Red Bull.
To be in your union.
Sorry, Red Bull. I'm sure you... I'm not saying it was Red Bull, but can you imagine?
Haribo with a Haribo ring.
Yeah.
Like, what is this? I'm like... That Haribo, would be new delicious.
That would be a stroke of genius on Haribo.
Oh,
get that.
Gosh.
Someone's got that idea. Someone else will do it.
Yeah.
Oh, not me.
God,
it's
nothing sacred anymore.
No.
Wow.
No.
That's mad.
Bit worrying. I worry about everything. It's not a good way to live.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny, isn't it? I think it depends how busy you are. I'm a big believer in, I only worry a lot when work is quiet.
Yeah.
You know, when you've got too much time on your hands, you just start thinking and overthinking, and that's what it's about, you know. And I say to myself often, oh my God, you need to get out the house or literally go and see somebody, because too much time in your own head is not a good thing, and that's when all these irrational fears.
Do you meditate or anything?
I did try. I tried to go to a meditation class and it just didn't really work for me because I just couldn't. I mean, I could see the benefits of it, but I would rather just go to an actual exercise class or, you know what I mean, do it that way. I'm not very good at just switching off totally.
Do you meditate?
I don't.
I can't imagine you doing that.
I've started putting like
people say headspace
mindfulness
is great.
Things into my life where I'm like completely offline and just much more, just much more relaxed. Like I've started putting in a lot more of that time recently. I'd love to start meditating. I've done it once with a meditation teacher and it was cool, but I didn't do it again.
It does make sense.
Something.
I think it is the thing. It's like a muscle. The more you do it, the better you get at it.
Yeah.
But it does. It takes patience to get good at it.
And it does make sense because, you know, you rest your body, hopefully, around 8 hours a night, but it's very rare. Even you're sleeping, you're dreaming.
Yeah. I've done a lot of like breathing exercises with a personal trainer I was doing of like stepping outside of your brain, and we'd do this breathing exercise for like 10 minutes and I'd literally feel like I was like above myself in the room, and you like weird stuff that was really, really cool.
My friends that can do it
I've
say
done
it's
that.
Really
it's
really
got a
good.
Weird
Have
name
you?
Like transcendent, it's something
maybe
to be honest I didn't like it. I
you
felt
didn't
really like out of body and not comfortable with it at all.
Yeah, but do you think you could get more comfortable if you like if you got used to that?
It was too much effort. No, no, I wasn't. I could meditate, but I wouldn't do that again.
Do you meditate? Do yoga,
and I don't meditate, but I probably do try to practice just being in the here and now. It might be on the train, and just doing nothing but just listening to everything around you and just being aware of it all. Just taking that in the moment time, it makes a difference. It resets your head.
You said walking the dog. You've always
walking
said that.
Walking the dog's amazing. Well, you've got a lovely, gorgeous doggy.
One thing that I try and do, which makes me sound a little bit weird, before I'm eating, to like look at your food, and like sounds a bit weird. Think about like where it's from. Like look at the colours, kind of thing. Because it's so easy to like go to a restaurant or you go to Leon, order your food, and then just absolutely smash it and not think about, like, sometimes I'm like, look at my food or smell my food, or I'm like, yeah, enjoy this. But don't just like absolutely smash it as quick as I can.
That's mindfulness.
I should enjoy eating this and think about not like real deep and everything, but just like, oh, I'm excited to eat this meal. It smells really good, looks really good, and enjoy eating it rather than just...
But I think even that demonstrates how unaccustomed we are now to just being a bit slow.
Yeah.
Just not having a moment where we're not doing something.
Yeah.
And it's really, it's a real effort now to put that back into your life, I think.
And I've tried to do that because I am, you know, very openly, I hate slow walkers, but I've actually really worked on how angry I get when I'm stuck behind slow walkers. Because it's just like, what is your hurry? Especially when I'm not actually going anywhere. I'm just programmed to move around quickly. And I'm like, why are you stressing about getting somewhere you don't need to be anywhere at this point in time? But it's just weird, isn't it? So it's just
because it's annoying.
I think people have got the mindset in general at the moment of like go back to back. This is the best thing. Being business owner, CEO, go.
Yeah, and I'm like, competing about being stressed.
Like,
be happy in the middle. That's always my life mantra. Forget about climbing to the top. Be happy in the middle.
Yeah, but Alfie's at the top, let's be honest. You and me, we're in the middle.
Oh yeah, I mean, I'm a bit below that, to be honest.
No, you're not. But, yeah.
Well, Alfie, that's all we've got time for this week because you've got a very busy day ahead of you. You've got to go off and do lots of other things. But thank you so much for taking the time out to
join
us about all manner and talk about all manner of ridiculous things.
I'm going to go get the bus home.
Very slow bus to Brighton.
Yeah.
We went a lot of places today.
We did.
I really enjoyed it. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you,
Alfie. And thanks so much for listening, everyone. We'll see you again next week.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.